For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and for the next hour or so, you are here with me, Tim Fuel, with some of the big stories in Non-League Football world this week, one of which involves my co-host. Welcome back to the show, manager at FA Vard semi-finalist Chertsey Town, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
Well, it's a good evening, but it's been an interesting week, Dave. You've been busy all around on Twitter and on the football field and some big game ahead of you.
Well, I think it's probably the weather's been so bad. I've been in a bad mood most of the week, as you could see. But I was just telling you before we came on air, and I suppose it's a good story to share. I just thought it was my responsibility to go and see Northwich Victoria at the weekend. Because, you know, we play them this Saturday, all being well. And I'm sure they were set up to do the same about us, because that's what you do when you get to the level. And I said to my wife, who I haven't seen much of in the last few weeks because of being away in Spain and sort of being away with football and that, I said, look, why don't you come with me? The hotel we're staying in is nice because it's the same one we stayed in at Earlham. We'll travel up Saturday morning and we'll go up first class and be nice to each other. And, we'll go and watch the game for an hour. That's all I want to see. And we'll have a nice meal out in Warrington or River and travel back Sunday morning. I want to come back Sunday morning because I had a ticket for Arsenal United in the afternoon. So all booked and paid for. And it has to be said that the club said to me, look, we'll pay for your tickets for you and your wife, which was lovely, you know, really nice. So it gets to about Wednesday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Mark Turner, Barney as we know him. Barney rings me, goes, yeah, you're going to see Northwich Victoria Saturday? I went, yeah. He says, they're playing Sunday because the ground chair. So I go, oh, I forgot the ground chair. So I've had to give away the ticket for Arsenal United for starters. I've then changed the train to come back Sunday around 5:30 instead of coming back at 11:30. Which cost me a bucket load of money, by the way, because, you know, we changed from off-peak or whatever tickets I had. But it cost me a few quid. Now, I can't go to the club and say, you know, you were really nice about paying for the tickets. Could you give me some more money? So I've had to take that on the chin, which is my own fault. So I think, fair enough, we'll go up Saturday morning as per normal. We'll spend the day. There's a spa at the hotel and we'll go out for a walk around Warrington and have a nice meal and, you know, chill out, which is always good fun. Sunday, we'll get up. My wife can either come to the game with me for an hour or so or stay in the hotel and have some treatment at the spa stuff, you know. So we go to bed. I get up during the night to go to the toilet. The rain is bouncing off the hotel. And I'm going, oh, I know what's going to happen. Get up Sunday, pitch inspection at 11, 12:05, game off. So I'm in Warrington. I've given away a ticket to Arsenal Man United. I've spent a bucket load of my own money to get the train back at what I thought was going to be the right time. Fortunately, I was allowed to change the train time back so we didn't have to stay in Warrington all day. That's nothing against Warrington, but I just wanted to get home. And I actually walked into my house just as the game kicked off. So I did get to see the game, albeit on the TV. So, yeah, that's one half of it. You know?
Yeah, but you had a lovely weekend with the missus. So.
It was great, yeah. You know, I was saying to her, there you are, darling. You know, we've done Paris, we've done Rome, we've done Berlin, and now we've done Warrington, you know. So we're ticking off these cities that we've always wanted to spend some time in.
But the rain, was your downfall this weekend as well?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, and I said that I'd imagine Northwich Victoria probably had some people come down to watch our game that was due to be played at Banstead. This ain't the non-league show's words. This is Dave Anders. This isn't even Chertsey Town's words. So let's get that clear. I'm representing me in this statement, not the show or my football club. But the game was called off at 9:30 Saturday morning, and obviously I was up north, but straight away I went, really? You know, as did everybody in you and all my players, all the staff are on me going, what's that about? You know, why? And I'm thinking, has the weather been that bad? You know, because maybe I missed it. I travelled up north. But so we were really perturbed by that. Why would you call a game off at 9:30 in the morning when your opponents could probably walk to your ground in an hour? You know, so I found that well, I found it strange to say the least. But what then happened later in the day was, I think it was a supporter, a local fan, who was going to go to the game. I think he obviously lives close to the ground. Had walked round to the ground, walked in, went on the pitch and videoed a perfect playing surface. And this is at 1 o'clock. This is like 2 hours before we're due to play the game. And, well, for me personally, the whole thing stank then. And not happy about it. I voiced it on, I've chucked my toys out of the pram on Twitter. Listen, you know me, I joke about stuff most of the time and I don't mind joking about it. But if you want me seriously, I think the integrity of football is on offer here, because you can't, why would you call, and I'm still waiting for answers. And to be fair, the Combined Counties League, I had someone has contacted me today and say, we'll have a chat to you about the sin bin, which is something else that they're bringing in, and about the Banston postponement. I did offer them to come on the show and they said, well, maybe next time, but you know, they'd like to speak to me privately. And I understand that, and I think that's, I'm really happy that they've got in touch with me about it. But you know, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And all I'm saying is that for me, it was a ridiculous decision to have a pitch inspection that early. Now, whether the pitch is waterlogged at 9:30 in the morning, no one's any idea. There's no pictures or video of it, but I know it was certainly playable at 1 o'clock through the footage that the supporter put online on Twitter. And I just think that I could do with someone explaining to me why the decision was made that way. What I would say to finish, and I don't want to make this all about, what I would say to finish is that, you know, this isn't because it upset our preparation for the VARs, because I was going to make 9 changes to my team. I promise you, there was 2 players who would start in the VARs game. I was changing the whole team. Why would you take a chance? I think we're in a position where we've a good squad. So it wasn't even about that. You know, we were going to have 9 different players on the pitch. So there was no preparation. In fact, it helped us, you know, where we could have a day off. We trained Monday, Wednesday, and we're ready to go. So it wasn't even about that. It's just the integrity of the game. It's just the honesty and the, I don't know, goodwill that's meant to be amongst all teams. I feel is sadly lacking on this occasion.
Well, as you said, you did give the Combined Counties the opportunity to come on the show. We'll follow that up as well if they want to come
or
on.
Or indeed, Banstead. I said on Twitter, Banstead could come on as well.
And it's on the list for my meeting with the FA. And these sort of questions are the ones that, you know, people that are involved in football on a day-to-day basis want to know the answers to.
Yeah, I do. And I respect that the Combined Counties have had one of their guys get in touch with me just as a, I don't think it's an official, he's just saying, look, if you want to talk about it, I'll talk about it. Me, because of the show, I'd like it to be on there, and I understand that maybe they'll do that next time, but at least they've made contact. So I don't want to get stuck up on it. I just think that every time I say it, it makes me laugh. You call a game off at 9:30 on a Saturday morning when there's the weather forecast was 6 inches of snow, you might look over it, but anyway, you know, someone's got to answer it somewhere along the lines. Otherwise, it for me, it looks bad on Banstead Football Club, if I'm being blunt.
Well, we'll come back to you, Dave, and your FA VARs preparations a little bit later. Yep. But we'll move on, because we got a busy show full of FA VARs and FA Trophy this week. So let's see if we can get our first guest up. We've heard some of Dave's thoughts, and we'll hear some more on the FA VARs of being in a manager in semi-finals, but what about the clubs in the FA Trophy? Of the 4 clubs remaining, 2 are from the National North, both challenging for promotion back to the National League, and both clubs rebuilding the right way off the field. Many like to offer their opinions on how to run a football club the right way, but few know how hard it is in reality. Our next guest, however, is the football operations manager, AFC Telford United, taking time out of his busy schedule to tell us how things are going there, especially ahead of their trip in the FA Trophy to Leighton Orient this weekend. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Luke Shelley.
Thank you.
Now, a trip to top of the National League. Nice and easy then.
Yeah, it doesn't become it doesn't get any harder. We've already had to beat Solihull Moors, who are currently second or were second in the National League at the time, and then we've also had to go away to Hartlepool, who are obviously a league above, and then we've had some horrendous trips to Spennymoor on a Tuesday night and Darlington on a Friday night. So we've certainly done it the hard way. That's for sure.
And I introduced you as football operations manager, which I know covers a multitude of things, some of them exciting, some perhaps not so much. But for those who don't know, what does your role at the club now include?
I'm the only full-time staff member at the club, so it can vary from all sorts, to be honest, from obviously signing players, doing players' contracts. I oversee the academy, which we've got 16 teams, and even this morning I've been walking around the ground with the fire assessment team as we're doing our ground grading at the moment. So it can vary from football terms to stadium, you know, getting ready obviously for the semi-final second leg we've got next week. It can be we've got five-a-side facilities as well, so we've got on site, we've got a BTEC education course, so it can really vary from day to day. And I said, because I'm the only full-time staff member, it can be really, really busy at times.
So you're not the kit man anymore, because I know you've had to do that in the past as well, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple of years ago I was doing the kit, which obviously used to take up my Saturday, but obviously being the club secretary is part of my role on the match day. I have other stuff to do on a Saturday afternoon now. So in the summer, when we had a slight restructure at the club, we brought someone else in who was looking after the kit side. So no, thankfully I don't have to do that now on a Saturday. And of course, we outsource our kit as well now, even better, to a company. So I used to have to go in on a Sunday sometimes, wash kit, flip the washing machine over. At times in between Christmas and New Year, I was washing stuff at home, trying to get it ready for the following game. So yeah, it can really vary at non-league football, as you probably know.
He says thankfully, yeah, but you now got the worst job in the world, as I see it, the football secretary's job, because that's the one that can go wrong.
Yeah, that's the important one. And I think over the summer when we did our restructure, the club obviously wanted to make sure, and of course before I took the role on, I said, you know, there needs to be one or two changes. One or two of the roles that I'd currently be doing needed to effectively be handed over to someone to concentrate on things, because as you know, the secretary role can be really important. You know, we've got a couple suspended this weekend, and if anything like that happens where players played that were suspended or players' contracts weren't done correctly and players end up playing, it can be a very, very dangerous game. And I certainly would hate for the club to get into trouble for something that obviously was under my umbrella.
Do you know, that's one of them things, like, that I would have now. It would nearly be every form I filled out, I'd be giving it to someone else going, can you read that, mate? Can you just make sure I've crossed the T's and dotted the I's there? It must have that nervousness about it, mustn't it?
That is the case. And even on a Friday or Saturday morning, I'll check and double check again. And then obviously when the manager gives me the team, you know, 1:30, 1:45, obviously before they go in at 2:00, again, I double check and just check again that we've got players suspended, they're not in there. And of course, now with the loan system, you can have up to 5 loans on team sheets. Look, thankfully this season, we've had a squad majority of contracted players. So some of the rules or some of the things you have to keep an eye on hasn't been the case this year. But it's, again, because I didn't get too much training this summer, I sort of picked it up from my previous person who had been in the role. It was a case of learning, reading, studying over the summer to make sure I understood everything for the season. And thankfully, I've gone okay so far.
Yeah, I think you went a bit sort of Doctor Who on us there. It's, I don't know why the line's broken down, but yeah, I was just going to say before I asked the next question is that I can guarantee that's true about the kit, because, you know, Barney, we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show, does ours, and he says, I said, what are you up to? He says, I've got to go and wash the kit, and I have to wash it 4 or 5 times to get it. He sounds like old Mother Hubbard when he's doing it, you know. But the question I was going to ask you, Luke, was, and it's an obvious one, and it's probably just a cheap one, but trophy versus the league, I've wrote down here.
It's a question that I'm getting asked quite a few times. From a personal point of view, I always feel that Wembley would be absolutely fantastic for the club in terms of promotion, because what you would get for the town, what you get for the area, for the club, everyone involved, it would mean so much more. Now, I'm not for a minute saying that we wouldn't turn promotion down, but I think you've always got that concern if you do get promoted up to the level that the following season can be a lot tougher, can be a bit of a struggle. Whereas if someone was saying to me now, we could offer you Wembley or promotion, then I would certainly take Wembley any day of the week.
And what about Gavin? Do you think he'd disagree with you?
He would definitely disagree with me. What if you ask Gavin, he'd say both. He
both, yeah, agreed.
An answer for one.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. I get that.
I mean, we put ourselves in a great position at the start of the season. I mean, the last two or three years now, we've been struggling off the field. We've had a couple of difficult months, you know, with the club. We've just about stayed up now for probably the last three seasons. So this season, the expectations were a lot lower at the club. Certainly not with Gavin and what he felt he could do, but probably certainly from those supporters looking in and from a club point of view. But the job that Gavin's done has been absolutely remarkable. We're now sitting, what, 9 games to go in the playoff position and in the semi-final of the trophy. So, you know, he's done a fantastic job and he deserves all the recognition he's getting at the moment.
You're absolutely right about that. Let me tell you, as a manager, it's not, he deserves everything he gets. But, I mean, I just look upon it when, you know, you look at the league table, I think, You've absolutely drawn the hardest one in the trophy to go to Orienta. At least you go there first leg, I suppose. But I would say, because of the expectations being so low, it should be quite a free ride. I suppose the fans are just jumping on everything at the minute.
They are. They've been fantastic. I mean, we took 750 to Solihull Moors a couple of weeks ago, and bear in mind, Solihull's only probably an hour away from us at Telford. We've sold probably just over 650 today, you know, for Leighton Orient. And bear in mind, that's a considerable amount, you know, more travelling and expense for supporters to get themselves down to London.
Yeah.
It was only recently we've had one home game since the 19th of January. So a lot of our games in the league have fallen when we've been away from home. So the supporters over the last few weeks have been remarkable, the amount of money they would have spent to travel up and down the country and the ties we've had at Solihull and Hartlepool and Spennymoor and Darlington. Of course, those trips aren't cheap in terms of travel expense. So the supporters have really, really got behind us this season. And I think you're absolutely right. We've got absolutely nothing to lose at Leighton Orient. And I feel like, you know, if we come away from the first leg and we're still in the tie, which is what we believe, you know, we can achieve, then we've got every chance at home with a full house, because our supporters, it's been a number of years since we've had a semi-final tie down at the New Books Head, and I think everyone sort of can't wait for Saturday to hopefully get through the tie and still remain in it for the second leg a week on Saturday.
And just the last one for me on the football side, you need to be carrying a reasonable squad to be taking this on two fronts. How are your numbers and quality-wise?
In terms of numbers, we're very, very tight, to be honest. We've got a squad of about 17. We've got one or two out on loan that we are looking at the option of recalling for the remaining few games. I mean, at the start of the season, we obviously, our budget was considerably lower compared to some of the clubs that are, you know, even at this level, even the league above. So we worked on a small squad. But what it's done actually this season is it's done a remarkable thing by bringing everyone together, because the squad are pretty much all contracted bar one or two. We've got one or two that have come in on loan, and we've had we've got a great relationship with Shrewsbury, where we've brought in Ryan Barnett, who over the last sort of 10 days or so has got 2 man of the match performances and got his first goal. And we've got a good relationship with Stoke as well, and we've brought in a keeper on loan from them. So we've used the loan market really well with a small group of 16 or 17 lads, and there's been very, very few changes in the squad, and they've all gelled together, and they've got a remarkable team spirit. And that was shown at Solihull when obviously for us to go 1-0 up was brilliant. For them, obviously, to peg us back, we probably thought, well, you know what, we'd have took a replay. But to go up the other end in the last minute to win it was brilliant. And then to concede a penalty in the 97th minute, the emotions of the players must have been absolutely up and down. And then to obviously win the game was fantastic. And you could really see this group of players really want it. And you know what, we go to Orient Saturday, we will be underdogs, but you never rule this group out. And you would not be surprised particularly after last Saturday where we got beat against FC United and Manchester, which was disappointing. If we went and got a result at Orient on Saturday, you certainly wouldn't be surprised, that's for sure.
Yeah, sorry, I said that Tim had finished, but I just want to make one point. The FC United results, no shock when you've a game round the corner like you have. You know, I think that's just... It's subconscious nearly.
I think you're absolutely right. And although, I mean, we played our full strength side, you know, we beat Darlington probably on the Tuesday night before, and Gavin decided to play the same 11 that played so well on Tuesday night. So he went full strength. He didn't rest anybody. The idea was still that we've got a huge job to do in the playoffs as well, because, you know, it's so tight at the top of the National League North. By no means have we secured our playoff position as well. So that was really important to us as well. So we didn't for a minute take our foot off the gas in terms of the selection of players. But like you said, whether the players had one eye on it, whether that's that mentality of you don't put that last ditch tackle in, or you don't do this, you don't try one or two things because you've got your eye on the on obviously this weekend's game. You know, so it will be difficult, of course it will, but you know, we always expect a reaction from our players, and I think there's not, you know, the manager hasn't got to do a team talk effectively on Saturday, because when you come away from home and you're playing Leighton Orient, who have been in the Championship or League One, League Two for the last few years, and obviously have dropped into non-league football, it's certainly not going to be a case of getting the players up for it on Saturday, that's for sure.
And you mentioned, it's been mentioned a couple of times, a former player, Gavin Cowan, he was promoted from coach to manager at the end of last season and built that team around it. That's the sort of appointment that says so much about AFC Telford, though, and probably says so much about that close-knit and sort of family feel that you've got there.
It does, absolutely. I mean, we had, obviously, like any club at this level, and the club that we've got, because we're a massive club at non-league football, we got absolutely inundated with applications when Rob Edwards sort of resigned towards the back end of last season, as you can imagine. And the club felt that Gavin, obviously, had been a first-team coach under Rob Edwards last season. He'd been a first-team coach under Rob Smith and Larry Chambers the year before as well, and it stuck with the changeover from Rob and Larry to Rob Edwards. They sort of felt they deserved to give him an opportunity for an interview as well. And I think even probably if the chairman or the managing director was here now, he'd be the same, by saying that they probably didn't expect him to do as well as he did in his interview. And he was very well prepared with everything he had. And by all accounts, he absolutely blew him away. And they got to the decision where they felt like they had to stick their neck out on the line and give him an opportunity. And probably there would have been a bit of risk, like there was for Gavin, obviously, with it being his first job in football. But it now looks back now, and I think the supporters now realise, you know, that risk that sometimes needs to be taken has been absolutely brilliant. And full credit to the board of directors and to Gavin and for everyone being involved, because it's sort of been a case of a knock-on effect, really. We had a good pre-season, we started the season well, and we've been in the top seven pretty much all the season.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's a really valid point that, you know, it's easy to go, nah, oh yeah, it was a good decision, but someone had to make a decision at the time. It's a bit like, I always equate it to when you go in the bar after the game and supporters tell you the team you should have played, but they don't come and tell you at half two when you're picking the team, you know. So it is that the board deserve credit, and, you know, it's the easiest thing to do is to go and get a recognised name and have another go at that, but I just think that I think they deserve a pat on the back, and they deserve a bit of credit for putting their necks out and believing in someone, and up to now he certainly hasn't let the club down. So I think well done.
Yeah, absolutely, you're right. And you now see managers now, young and hungry managers who and I know Gavin obviously worked with him every day. He's so knowledgeable of this level, having played it here before. He spent so much time on detail, the amount of times already he's watched Sully Hall and studies it and know everything, and every single preparation's done to perfection. And of course, he understood that the first job he got in football was going to have to be, you know, he's going to have to give everything to make sure he's successful, because that always that first job, if you never try and make it work, or it doesn't quite work for whatever reason, it's very, very hard to then get back into football, isn't it? Or to them, for someone else to take that risk. So there would have been a risk on both parts. There'd have been a risk on the club, and there'd have been a risk on Gavin as well. But for both parties, for it to fall into place, and it's been so successful, it has been tremendous. And like we said, both parties deserve a huge amount of credit for that.
You obviously know, you know, I've said all the jobs that you already do, you have done in the past. You've mentioned a few, the highs and lows of the club. You're working with Gavin every day. You see it on a day-to-day basis, and the club's now competitive on the field. What about off the field? If you were to get promotion, you know, if you were to get to Wembley, you've got a small squad. Is the club set up to move up and compete at the next level again?
I think probably from Christmas we've started to have, and I think every club probably does this anyway, but we started to have a plan A and a plan B, which we've got now in place. So should we get promoted at the end of the season, we've got a case where, right, this is the plan we'll work towards for the National League. If it doesn't work out and we remain in the National League North next season, we understand already expectations are going to be considerably higher next season as well. Naturally, players' wages then goes up because players technically want more money because of the success they've had this season, whereas some of the players this year, effectively, you give them an opportunity from either lower leagues or that they're on the way down. So it can work both ways. So we're fairly confident we've got a plan in place that should ever, whatever level we play at next season, that again, we'll be competitive. And of course, what's happened is off the field, naturally, like any clubs, I suppose, when you're doing well and your success is coming, then your corporate boxes are filling out, your gate receipts are up, you know, everyone wants to be part of your sponsorships and everything else. So the club we've got stuff in place where now, you know, money's effectively being put aside and the success we're now having is going to carry us forward for next season. And that's when you asked me earlier about the question in terms of would I take promotion or Wembley. You know, promotion again will bring many difficulties next season because naturally you'll probably end up losing possibly more games than you end up winning. So you've got to have that feel-good factor remain next season. Whereas a trip to Wembley, what it would do for the town would be remarkable, and that would be the most ideal thing for this football club going forwards. If we got to Wembley, you know, even if we didn't go up this season, we remained in the National League North next season, considerably amount off the field and our fan base. We've got young supporters now who are obviously coming on board and recognising the run and the profile it's given the club. And that's what it's about. It's about building the foundations, because obviously should you then make the level above, you've got everything in place to be competitive and make sure you're there to stay.
Well, Luke, it's been fantastic getting your insight and talking to you. Yeah. We wish you well over the next couple of weekends and for the rest of the season. And we'll be keeping an eye and hope maybe speak to you before the end of the season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, well, good luck, mate.
I'm pleased I got Luke on now because we often speak to managers, we speak to chairman, and it was just, I've known Luke since he was doing the media stuff before, and it's just someone, he's really on at the sharp end. This is what non-league football's about. He's the one and only full-time member of a very big football club that are doing very, very well.
It is a big football club, and it sounds stupid, they are doing well. But I thought he spoke an awful lot of sense. He made an awful lot of points that sort of made me get the pen out and make a note, because I think when you've covered the job, Tim, when you do every sort of job behind the scenes, you get a real feel of what it's all about. You even get a feel of the dressing room, you get a feel of the mood of the manager, you know, and he's a big part of the success as well. You can just tell by the way he speaks, the sort of the vision that he has with the rest of the club. And it was real. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was real good interview.
But from one of those National North clubs in the FA Trophy action to the other, no stranger to the Non-League Football Show after a great season on several fronts, welcome back to the show, manager at Stockport County, Mr. Jim Gannon.
Good evening.
Good evening. Now, we've just been speaking to Luke, the football operations manager at ASE Telford, discussing the various, the difficulties of part-time footballers in a full-time business and juggling all that around. I know it's a tough balance, and I know it's something we've spoken about before. I know it was always, you know, further on, but you're doing so well now. How far are you advanced on that plan towards full-time football?
Well, I think there's a massive appetite to go full-time here. And when we've seen the success of Salford and Fylde and Harrogate, there was almost a feeling that it was going to be difficult to get promoted and be successful at the next level without being full-time. So what we did last season is that just over the Christmas period, we introduced a Monday for as many pros that wanted to avail of it. And I think it sort of showed in our results in the back half of the season where we matched Salford and Harrogate, that was giving us a competitive edge. Now, we continued that into this season, the Monday mornings, along with the Tuesday and Thursday, the traditional Tuesday and Thursday evenings. And we like to think we brought in some good part-time players that bought into that and some good young pros that bought into it. There's more players training on the Monday, not all of them, because we've got, obviously, school teachers and lorry drivers. But I still think that the quality of the group and the working 3 days a week certainly giving us a competitive edge, and that's grown over the last 6 or 7 months, and we've seen a really good run of form in the last 3 months, and we're hoping that we'll continue to get a competitive edge on the majority of clubs at this level.
And I mentioned that great season. If people don't remember, they should remember. FA Cup second round, FA Trophy semis now, currently second in the National North. You've clearly enjoyed the season, and the fans have enjoyed the season, but does it need a prize at the end of the season to make it all worthwhile?
Of course. If we get knocked out in the semi-final, and then I think we're likely to be in the playoffs minimum, and if we don't win the playoffs, I think we'll be really disappointed. We're disappointed on a number of fronts, really, that we put ourselves in a really good position on both fronts. We're also a very good team at the moment, playing with good form. So to not get some success, it would be a disappointment. It would be an incredible season no matter what happens. As you said, not just the run we've had in the FA Cup and the FA Trophy, the finances that was brought to the club, that's helped support the structures we're trying to bring in here and the professionalism of everything we do. But at the end of the season, we have made incredible steps in the right direction, and we've improved performance, results and income year on year in the last 3 years we've been here. I think we'd all crave and love to get some success at the end of the season, at least on one front.
Yeah, and I think as well, Jim, when it gets to where it is now, where it is the semi-final, and for me, nothing takes preference now. They're all big football matches that have to be treated the same way, league or trophy.
Definitely. This is, we strange the situation we found ourselves in, because we've had quite a bit of a disruption with the FA Cup and FA Trophy, and having to play a lot of games on a Tuesday night in places like Blythe, Spennymoor, Boston, and that's been a challenge for us on the league front. But this next 2 weeks, you can solely concentrate on what's a huge two-legged semi-final where the prize is a place at Wembley. Fortunately at Stockport, I was able to play at Wembley. I think I scored the winning goal against Burnley that sent us to the first final. So I was the hero of the night. I'd like some of our players to be that hero. And at that stage, I thought that was going to be my one unique opportunity to play at Wembley. Now, I was lucky to play 4 times and then also managed it, but for a lot of our players, no matter what level they play at, National, North, National, to go on into the league, the opportunity to play at Wembley is unique in a footballer's life. And it's really tangible at the moment. And we know that if we do the business over 2 games and work really hard, give ourselves every chance, the reward for them in terms of memories and experience alone is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat with the FA Vars, in the semi-final. I'm trying to keep it away from him. I'm trying to talk it down and deal with the next one. But I think with yourselves and Stockport County's recognised league club, as a name, for me, when I look at the league now, Jim, be brilliant if you could win it instead of going through our playoff carry on, wouldn't it?
Definitely, and it was a real disappointment at Blackley. There's been games where the opposition have earn more out of the game than perhaps than we allowed them to take. And this particular game, we're disappointed because we did more than enough to take points and even win the game. Mm. But we have to dust ourselves down from that, and we have to wait now till we play Ashton in 2 weeks. And we know we've got the Ashton game midweek now and Chester midweek away from home. So in between all those other games. But we look at the run-in and we look at the other team's fixtures, and we're very much in the hunt. And, if you'd asked anybody at the start of the season or after 2 months, would have bitten your hand off to be in this position where, effectively, we go and win the majority of our games, we could go up as champions. Technically, it's not in our own hands, but with Chorley having to play Spenny more and us playing Chorley, then we know that there's a few twists and turns that could go in our favour. But, you know, we look forward to that Ashton game, because when that comes round, I think the lads will be smart now after the last defeat to make amends in that game. But what a fantastic break from that pressure to play Wild Home and Away, because it's not just the opportunity to play at Wembley. It's a real opportunity for our players once again to play against a team at higher level to show that not only are we a good team at this level, but we're capable of being successful next year. Because, as you mentioned there, I played in the Championship with Stockport and managed in League One. So yeah, our aspirations now are to be much greater than just promotion. And I'm very respectful of non-league. Any division's tough to get out with only the champions and the playoff winners. So we've got to be respectful of the league, work really hard, make sure we're top of the pile at the end of the season. But I think the next two games will really give us an indication of whether we can compete at the next level and make the next step that we want to make. Because ultimately, you know, we all want to be at this level, not have another year at this level, but we want to do really well at the next level and strike and work really hard for the league again.
And same question I spoke to Luke at Telford about. When you're fighting on two fronts, then obviously the size and quality of your squad come into it. Are you comfortable that you've got it, that both of them counts right?
Well, I have to be massively respectful to the players. I mean, in terms of their profession, the majority of our players have some sort of job. Some of them are doing 40 hours a week and they've got young families. So for them to maintain the standard performance they have has been brilliant. In the last four games, we made five changes for Maidenhead, five for Spennymoor, five for Boston, or six for Boston, and five for Brackley. So I have a lot of trust in the 17 or 80 players we have. We've picked up one little injury with Jake Kirby getting a shoulder problem, but we've still got a very strong 16, 17-man panel with some good young players to support that. The window's still open should we need to strengthen at the end of this month. But I'm finding it very hard, and I don't know what the situation is at Telford, but I'm finding it very hard to attract players from even higher level that are better than what I've got. And the players I've got at the moment know my philosophies, know my process, know the way that we want to play, and they all know each other so well. They've been from the first game of the season to the last one. They've been here. And I think there's a lot of strength in that, the unity and the continuity of the current group. And but we have got the resources and that to strengthen. But like I said, a team that's had a 22-game unbeaten run, got to the second round of the FA Cup, got to the semi-finals of the FA Trophy. How do you improve on that? It's just very difficult because there is restrictions in terms of finances that we can pay. And you can understand there's players in the league and there's players in the national that would be excited by the opportunity, but most of them don't want to come to this level. So for us, it's been very difficult to improve, but I'm very fortunate that the group that I started with and the players we've added, the Elliot Osbournes, the Jamie Stotts, the Lewis Baines, have all added to the group and given us a real good quality and depth to the squad, which I think will serve us really well. But if we have any problems in the next couple of weeks, or we get the opportunity to add one or two players just to galvanise us and give us that little bit of strength for the final push, then I think would be welcomed by everybody at the club and give another little bit of excitement for that final month.
Yeah, sure. I've just wrote down here, you're not doing much wrong, but what I would say is it is a little bit, you want to, if you, I always think if I'm bringing someone in this time, I want to, sometimes it's good, it freshens the dressing room, it sort of just keeps everyone on their toes. But because of the bonding that has taken place up till now, you can't get that wrong as a personality. It can't be someone that turns the place dark, you know. So you're nearly sometimes, if you're not assured of it, you're better off to say no.
Definitely. And I think even if you look back at last season, the season before, the majority of players that started the season with us, so the majority of players that ended. We've only used two or three loans throughout the season, so I kind of trust in the players and continue to work with them. You know, they'll have dips and they take a little bit of while to adjust, but we've had faith in them and trust in them. And I think we're seeing that at the moment. Our players have grown as individuals and collectively. You know, it was easy for me to bring people like Elliot Osborne and Jamie Stott back to the club because they had previously played for us. So we knew them as personalities, yeah. We knew them as players. They knew what our style of football was and what their expectations were. So it'd be nice to get one or two players back that know what we're about. But yeah, you're right. You have to make sure your recruitment's right. And another big thing for me, because we're going into a delicate stage where, you know, we have to have one eye on next season. Players want to know where they stand contract-wise. Yeah. But I'd like to go forward with all those players. And I think there's a great deal of experience to be gained by our young players playing in these type of games and being in this sort of environment of pressure, expectation week in, week out, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. And I think at the moment they're frightened on it. And I think it will, if these are the players that are going to be serving us next season, then they're getting tremendous experience from this year, which I think I'd rather give to them than somebody else's player.
Yeah, you mentioned you're playing at AFC Fylde and it's a good chance to test the players again against a higher level. But they're not just a high level, they're competing to move out of the National League in the playoffs where they are at the moment. But does league form and everything, does that go out of the window for cup games like this? You know, is it... Do the players just lift themselves for this one-off go, or two-off game, as this one is?
Yeah, I mean, the fact is a two-off game is kind of creates a sort of slightly different dynamic, but I don't think league form goes out the window. Fylde are a good side. They had a fantastic win on Tuesday. Very, very competitive at that level. They've got one eye on even top spot, but definitely for the top places in the playoffs. Mm. They're a club I've admired over the last couple of years. I've seen what they've done to get out of this level. I've seen the players they've recruited. Some really good players from this level and really good players from successful sides international. They're a good side and they can play very effective football. My assistant manager was quick to point out that they've got the best home records. They're the second highest goal scorers. They've got the top goal scorer. So, but the top goal scorers were Harrogate. And we went to their place and we knew that they would be a very competitive side. They'd just fallen out of players at that level. And we went there and won 4-2. So on the day, if we perform, obviously we're conscious of their strengths, but we're also conscious of our own strengths. And we won't be doing anything majorly different. We want to play. The great thing about the Harrogate game, we were going to freshen the team up, but I really wanted to see the team that was in good form compete against the team that was in good form in the National. And no, and the lads have followed up that win at Maidenhead. Now, Maidstone were a team of lesser form and struggling, but it's still a fantastic result. So, you know, we've been to Yeovil and got a result. So, and won there. So, you know, we just got to go about our own way of playing. Our trust in our fitness levels and our conditioning to match a team that's full time. We know Fylde at home. With the players they have, is a real, real challenge for us and a real test. And we've got to work out, come on the way with a result that will give us an opportunity to go and win the two legs at AFC Park next Saturday. And if we're in that position, then we can expect a hell of a crowd, a hell of an atmosphere, and a hell of a game here at AFC Park come Saturday week.
Yeah, and I know you're a meticulous tactician. With your UEFA Pro licence, you're probably one of the most qualified, if not the most qualified, at step two of all the managers. Do you thrive on games like this? Because you can put that to use.
I think, you know, having your education, playing experience, and management experience at all different levels definitely helps. And you're trying to give that experience to players. But what we've done recently is we've tried to give the players ownership. And you know, because I don't want to play the game for them, I don't want to overmanage them. We do a lot of work on the training ground. We've instilled a lot of principles. We've got some really good players that make good decisions and lead themselves on the pitch. And I think that's going to be really important in these two games. Whatever I can bring, I will bring. And I'd like to think that I help them during the game, you know, manage the different changes. We've had, like when we played Telford, it was like a game of chess, the amount of different formation changes that went on. And I'm sure that Fylde will have their own tactical changes and bits and pieces that we'd be mindful of. And if I can see some of the players don't, then obviously I'll help them. But the great thing over the last not just the last 6 or 7 months of this season, but the last 3 years that I've been with some of these players. I trust them and they trust me when it comes to making those kind of decisions.
Yeah, no, I've just wrote down, it's a really good point, given the responsibility to players. It's something I've been guilty of not doing over at times in my career, where you've tried to do everything for them. But I do think that they thrive on responsibility. And you're effectively trying to get at this where they self-manage nearly on the pitch, Jim, you know. But when you've got the group and the group's doing well, and you really want to let them get on with it as much as you can, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I think it was the Chester media guys and the non-league guys were poking fun at me when I quoted Confucius in post-match. And Confucius had a simple saying that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. So players like Ashley Williams and Anthony Pilkinson, we taught them to understand the game and make effective decisions and you know, problem solve. And when you can do that at League Two, you can do it at Premier League or in the Euros or the World Cup. Some players, I mean, I've played with the likes of Dave Bassett, and some players liked just to be told what to do and where to put the ball, and that suited them. But I think those players that are hungry for knowledge and hungry to learn and hungry to improve, they want to be shown the game, the intricacies of the game, and then be trusted to make the right decisions. And I think we've not just our conditioning and the technical stuff we do, but I think players are learning the game, and once they start being confident, they can see what's going on, they'll be confident in the decisions. And I want them to become better players because I want them to be equipped to do well for me, but also well for themselves and kick on and do well in their careers at this level, the next level and the higher level. Yeah. And I've been very proud of the players that we've helped grow and start on their careers to the Football League and to become internationals in the World Cup. So we're very proud of that record, as well as what we've achieved here at Edgeley Park.
Well, Jim, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And I always feel I've learned something, even just talking to you for 10, 15 minutes. So it's been fantastic. We wish you well in this double-legged semi-final.
I'd say as well, Jim, I'm using that quote as soon as the next dressing room I'm in. That's coming out, believe me.
I'm just trying to spell Confucius for him, though, at the moment.
Confusion?
No. Well, look, thanks very much. And all the best to Telford and the other one. I think it just shows you how strong the National North is this year to have two teams. Yeah. We've got the current holders from this level, and now we've got two teams in the final playing. In the semi-finals, playing two of the best teams in the National. So two cracking ties, and whoever gets to Wembley will deserve it because they'll have had to get past a really good side. So all the best to Telford as well.
Good stuff. Good luck, and speak to you soon.
Yeah, good luck, Jim.
Thanks so much. Okay, bye-bye.
We learn something on the non-league show every week.
That's brilliant. But yeah, Jim's been on before, and you're right, he is absolutely the most experienced person at the level, without a shadow. I mean, and probably the level above. But that's brilliant. I love that. And, you know, I think what is good, I'm lucky in a way because I'm back in management at like level five or whatever the combined counties is. And we get, you know, I get to pick the brains of people like Jim Gannon and, you know, and other people week on week. And I always go out of here thinking, I'm going to use that. That's clever. I like that. I like this. But what it also does is it reinforces what you're doing yourself, because this season I've given a lot of responsibility back to the team and give them a lot more time in their own in the dressing room, a lot more, you know. And when I hear Jim say that, it makes me think, well, it might be on the wrong lines as it goes, you know. But just top, you know, top manager.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, the two guests we've had so far talking about actually quite small squads, that tight knit, and we see time after time clubs spending money, bringing in players, revolving doors, trying to buy success.
You're trying to get it right,
in the conference, we've spoken about National North all season, how tight it is, and you look at the clubs that are up there: Chorley, Stockport County, Spennymoor Town,
Brackley,
they're the part-time sides. They're not the ones that have got the big budgets, that have going all out, all expenses, everything has to be done the right way. Mm. They're doing it the right way,
yeah.
but they're doing it with a longer term strategy behind it.
And I think recruitment's massive. I think if you get the right group together early, then listen, my door when I was manager of Harborough and never stopped moving. It was a revolving door 24 hours a day. And it was simply because I was trying to find it. I never found it, you know, and you can't stop the door revolving if it's not right. And it's a real hard one to juggle. Do you stick with it for a while when you know it's not right? Whereas this period, I've got a group of players together from the start of the season. I looked at the team photo last week. I think there's maybe one, this is taken in August time, there's maybe one or two people out of the whole group who've moved on. Now, if that was Harborough in any of the years as a Harrow, it would be the other way around. It would, you know, it'd be maybe two players kept. And that stability and that togetherness and then the calm bond. But to get that, you have to get the group right. Your recruitment has to be right, you know. And he's done that. And I think, you know, speaking to Luke as well, Telford, you know, have done it as well. And it does help. But then you have to have the confidence to let it evolve. And they have.
So back to the FA Vars, and like Dave, the manager dreaming of a trip to Wembley, but first two legs of a semi-final starting on Sunday with the visit of Canterbury City. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Cray Valley Paper Mills, Kevin Watson.
Thank you.
Now, I know speaking with Dave at the start of the season, a decent FA Vars run this term was on his bucket list. What about you guys?
Wasn't really in our minds, wasn't really a priority. More sort of a focus on the league. Last season, ironically, we didn't get knocked out of the FA Vars. We actually got taken out of the competition for playing an eligible player in one of the rounds. So it was a bit disappointed by that, actually, because we thought more about it last season. But that was possibly because the league wasn't a reality last season, where it was more so this season. But I think as the rounds progress, then you start to realise, hold on, we can go a little bit further and go as further than the club's been as such.
And obviously now, semi-final, you must be pleased you're not head-to-head with Dave Anderson, of course. But
I'm sure he's delighted.
Were you a little disappointed, though, that it's opposition from the same league and same division as you in the Southern Counties East Football League?
Not really. I'll be completely honest. I was asked a question prior to the draw, who would you prefer? I didn't know. I didn't know enough about the other teams, if I'm completely honest. So my answer to that was, I'll let you know after the semi-final. If we win it, it was the right draw. If we don't, it was the wrong draw. But look, I think in a competition like this, you get through to the semi-finals, you're going to be playing a good team regardless. And you're going to have to be good yourselves.
Yeah, and I think as well, Kev, listen, we're always worried about big games because it's in your DNA as a manager. But I always say to people, people want to win a cup. You can have 10 bad minutes in a cup and be out of it. You know, I always think we're judged on what we do in the league. But when it gets to a two-legged semi-final, you sort of think, well, I'm not saying we're going to win it, but if we lose it, I can shake hands with a guy because over two games, the best team should win.
I've said exactly the same thing, Dave. I said it's quite nice. I feel it's a test for me as a manager. Mm. Going into a second game like that, second leg, I sincerely think that it won't be finished after the first leg, almost regardless of the score.
Yeah.
It will go into the second leg. People think about a home advantage. We're at home on Sunday, but ironically, their pitch is better than ours, and generally we're better on a better pitch. So. Yeah. I think the second leg will be interesting, but from a management perspective, like you say, it's very difficult. But all I'm trying to do at this stage, and possibly you are, is try and sort of affect and impact and fix as many variables as we can and have a clear conscience. And then at the end of the day, whatever happens over those two games, we have to accept and move forward.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, looking at your league table, you're in the similar position that we are, where you have a chance of sort of winning the division. And it, in many ways, that's nearly helped me, because the Vaz games, everybody's enjoyed them, but it's been easy to return the focus to the league because of the position. Have you found that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's gone hand in hand. I don't think that we've taken our eye off the ball in one because the other. I think they've actually complemented each other. And I think the Vaz has helped our league performance. One, because there's a bit of competition in the squad and people want to play in the game, etc. And also, there's quite a lot of buoyancy and confidence around the club. So I think both have had a positive effect on each other.
Yeah, and Canterbury, they're probably not eyeing up the promotion like you guys. Do you think that means that they've got a different focus for the game?
No, not for the game necessarily, but you look at the team that I've been doing my homework, obviously. You look at the team that they've put out over the last four games. It's been a different team every game. They've certainly rested players and they've got the luxury of doing that. We haven't really. If I'm honest. So I think their approach to it is slightly different to ours prior to the game, but certainly on the day it will be the same mentality. It will be great rewards for the team that end up getting through over the two legs, and it will be that passion and desire. And then ultimately it may come down to quality on the day, but both teams have got, all four teams in the competition at this round have got quality. So it'll be interesting to see.
And just you know, I'm holding back on asking too much, Kev, because it would be wrong of me being in the same competition and we may bump into each other. Well, hopefully we do, please. But you've been drawn at home on the first leg, whereas we've been drawn away. What's your perception of that? Does it mean anything? Would you rather have it that way around? What it is what it is.
It just means that this week's been more of a headache because I've sort of been arranging things with other club officials and things regards to car parking and ticket allocation and bits and pieces like that. But now, for me and for us, we're not a team like that. I've been involved with other clubs where it has been like that, and you make your home ground your fortress, and maybe. But the problem is, Dave, like your experience at this level, you have to try and win every game.
Yeah.
So we can't have a mentality where we go away from home and think, oh, a point will do or something like that.
That's
win every game.
So, that's exactly what I was saying. I did an interview this week, and it's as if you stole my script, because it's exactly what I said. I said, you know, it might be different at top levels where they can prepare their team to be cagey and to be this and to be that. I've been exactly the same. We have a difficult tie at Northwich Victoria, but we've only played one way all year. So why would you change that now, you know?
Yeah. I've said that all along. Our mentality, regardless of who we play, and this is no disrespect to anybody, if we was playing a team of a higher level, considerably higher, we would go to win the game, because that's a mentality that we have to have. But it's hard. I don't think people realise how hard it is to go into games knowing that you have to win every game to have a chance of doing well in the league.
Yeah.
Nothing's a given. And I think people, this is what frustrates me at this level. They'll look at league position, or they'll look at statistics, or they'll look at the team we've got on paper, and there'll just be a naive assumption that you'll win the game, and football doesn't work like that. And we've been on the end of results this season where we haven't got the desired result. People would have expected us to, and then it just breeds negativity when actually it's a reality. Nobody wins everything all the time.
Exactly, yeah.
And you've obviously, you've got someone helping shoulder that responsibility with you. There's someone experienced in the form of Kevin Lisby is grabbing the headline, scoring the goals. So does that help going into big games like this?
Must do.
I think it does, because I think more so for the players, they can look and they've got somebody alongside them that they know has experienced it. We've got a couple of others that played at good level and played in decent games and things like that. But ultimately, I have to manage him very similar to I have to manage other people. I may have to motivate him to a certain extent, tactically, not so much technically, obviously, but tactically pass things on to him, etc. And like I've said to people, when they speak about Kevin Lisby, again, there's almost this perception that, yes, the reality is he's at the end of his career, but this means as much to him as it does a 19-year-old kid playing in this competition.
Even more so, exactly.
Even more so, because he knows that maybe these opportunities are not going to be there. But you've got that 19, 20-year-old that at this stage of their career, the only problem they have is they will assume that this is football and they get these opportunities
they get every week,
all the time. when actually that may never come around again for them.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's about... I've found it's just about managing sort of individuals, finding out what makes them tick, and then obviously the collective with the team.
I mean, that's on the field, so you're doing really well on the field. We've seen that. But it's is it 100 years since the club formed? You know, it's almost like it's written in the stars, this is going to be your year. But how is the club off the field at the moment? Where's the club heading?
No, the club's... club's in a good place. We don't get as much support as we would have liked, so that's something that hopefully we'll try and sort of generate maybe a new generation of supporters. But no, it's in a good stable place. We've got a very strong sort of committee and board members that work tirelessly and selflessly for no profit or no such gain. So it's as important for them as anything, because players do end up coming and going. Hopefully we'll be able to keep this squad together, or the majority of them, for some time. But no, the club's in a good place. It's in a good location. Like I say, with ground share, the pitch isn't in great condition. But we've got a good training facility locally at school. So yeah, I couldn't ask for much more as a manager in terms of the support I'm given, to be honest.
And what would it mean to the local community then if you were to make Wembley? Would that help? Are they already getting excited, embracing that your cup run?
I think so. I think the league, obviously having two teams in the competition from the same league still at this stage, brings a buzz around.
It's incredible,
the Kent League, if you like. So there's lots of eyes on it. I think there is a buzz in the local community and sort of neighbouring teams, if you like. Obviously, what happens as well, many of these players have played for other clubs and they've got acquaintances and friends from other clubs, so that they get support from fellow players, if you like. The fact that we're playing on a Sunday will help as well, possibly attract a good crowd. So, yeah, certainly the buzz of the local area, it's better than a usual Saturday down at our ground, if you like.
And Canterbury, I think I saw you in an interview mentioned, as you've mentioned, that you've seen that they've changed their squad. But I think you played them just before Christmas and they've had a completely different team from then as to what they've been playing recently. But I also see that you're due to play them, I think, on the last game of the season.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they have got a much changed side. Look, when we played them sort of December time, they'll probably have on Sunday maybe four players top starting that played against us then. They went and signed quite a few players before the quarter final. They're a different animal to what their league position shows and for the majority of their league campaign. But they've made some good signings, lots of experience from the league above. So it'll be a completely different test. So anybody that looked at the league position and assume that we will win the game just because we're high is very naive, and that's absolutely not the mindset. We will go into it with... They can play the underdog card. Of course they will. I'd be doing exactly the same. But I genuinely think it's a 50-50 tie over the two legs, so we'll see.
Oh, well, when you've been involved in non-league football as long as us lot, then looking at league tables, that means nothing. No. Kevin, we wish you well at the weekend. And, of course, being a Sunday, if there are anybody that, you know, you're watching your own side on a Saturday, you can pop down and watch the game on Sunday at 3 o'clock kickoff at Greenwich Borough. Good luck across the two semi-finals, and who knows, you guys may meet very soon.
Yeah, I hope we're shaking hands in May.
yeah, hope so.
Thanks for your time, Kevin.
Good luck, Kev.
Thanks,
good luck,
guys. Take care.
See you, mate.
So, Dave, FA Vars. You got some insight there from one of the other managers.
Yeah, interesting.
You heard him talking about the experienced players like Kevin Lisby.
Yeah.
And I know that's, looking from afar, that's something that's I've spotted in your side, that you've got that balance of youth, experience. And it seems to have come through from all of those that we've spoken to again tonight, that
you need a
complete balance of everybody, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And you need a balance of age. You need a balance of experience. You need a balance of pace versus doggedness. You need it. You need someone that can score goals and someone that doesn't let them in. And, I think when you look at the size of the competition, a nationwide competition that has over 600 clubs, 638, was it we said, 640. And if you get it down to the last four, you can be assured that there's going to be no mugs. And I know a little bit about all the teams that are left in it, include me in that, my team. I know a little bit about them as well. And you'd be a brave man to put money on who's going to win the semis and who's going to win the final, because it'll be a very, very close call. And I'm not trying to be clever with that. I think if you asked the other three managers, they'd say exactly the same thing. But it's exciting. It's really exciting.
And the other thing we have mentioned throughout all those interviews, perhaps not with Cray Value, is because you're pushing on so many fronts, you've now got two weekends where you're not in league action. And so do you now switch off about the league tables and not worry about that till you're back in action? Or is it at the back of your mind that you're losing traction?
No, I think you've just got to deal with you. You know, it's the same thing. I'm always going to find out, because my league's a two-horse race, I will find out. If I went to the moon on Saturday, someone would tell me the Sutton Common Rovers score, and I'm sure their staff are exactly the same. That's just the way it is. But I find it easy to concentrate it on the next game, because I've found out through the years of doing this that if you don't and you look too far in front, behind or to the side, you can trip up. So I'm only ever interested in the game that's in front of us, and I've said to you before, and I think what I've been lucky with is the group of players I've got have shown that they've got that capability to deal with the Vaz game when it comes up. And then back into the league, our problem with the league is we're getting behind on fixtures, and it's about the time period.
You're five games behind already, and you lose these two weekends.
So if weather permitting, if we get played, because the forecast of the weekend in Manchester isn't brilliant. Mm. So that's something that can change. But you have to not get bothered about that. You have to sort of go, play the next game, and when the game after the next one comes up, play it. And if it means we're playing three games a week, or there's no extension to the season, or whatever it is, you just deal with it. Deal with it. But don't think about two games in front of you when you've got the next one. When you're in a semi-final of a major competition, it seems the stupidest thing in the world to say. Believe me, everyone in my dressing room and the other three clubs' dressing rooms, they won't need to focus their players for these games, believe me.
We seem to have lost Angry Anderson. We've got Mellow Anderson now.
Well, I sort of got it off my chest at the start of the show, and I was pleased that someone from the Combined Counties League had taken the time to get in touch with me to give them a ring about that. But listen, really looking forward to we travel up Friday again. We stay in the same hotel as we did against Earlham, so the lads know where they're staying. We have a routine about it now. You know, we know what time we travel. We know where we go. We know we've our own private eating area. We have a quiz every, Steve Hawkins does an unbelievable quiz that has caused more fights than the game, the football matches have. We just have a set pattern, and we're happy to continue that. But we're under no, we're not stupid. We know we're going up here for against a massive name in non-league, Northwich Victoria, a massive name. Jim Gannon actually managed him, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Yeah,
he did
and indeed. So did my mate Jimmy Quinn, who's former West Ham in Northern Ireland. So they're a massive name in non-league. So it'll be a tough ask, but we're not bad. So, I think that they'll respect us as much as we respect them.
Now, time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers, joined again by Alex Neri, editor at the Non-League Paper. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Yeah, good. It's a busy week in the Non-League game. We've obviously got FA Trophy, FA Vars going on, but the National League, we say it almost every week, but it's tight, and there's things happening all over the place.
Yeah, twists and turns. It was only a few weeks ago, actually, that I was, I wouldn't say I was writing Leighton Orient off, but they were the team in the top five, top six who I was concerned for. I think up until Christmas time or around about New Year's time, they'd only lost one game and a really, really rocky January. I think the 3-0 defeat at home against Salford really knocked their confidence, but they've really bounced back, won four games on the spin, if you count the FA Trophy comeback against Brackley Town. So, they're 3 points clear now, just in over his boys, and Wrexham had a bit of a wobble in midweek. They've now lost two games back-to-back and a 3-1 home defeat against Barrow. So it's twists and turns, and it's promised to be another busy couple of weeks coming up. And, of course, Leighton Orient and Fylde playing in the Trophy this weekend, so it's a good opportunity for others to gather pace on them again.
Yeah, it create a lot more speculation, because with those two not in action, it'll sort of adjust the table a little bit. You say Orient are top, and I suppose it must be great going into a two game gap, knowing that you are top. So at least you're not trying to close a gap when you come back to action. But I've been looking at the run-ins, and I know you've tipped Salford City from a long way back, but you look at their running and you do think maybe it favours them.
Yeah, I think I might have changed my mind about Salford. I think 4 weeks is a very, very long time in this game, and they have bounced back recently. They've won three games on the spin, but before that they'd lost four in a row. So it's up and down. It's topsy turvy, and it's quite funny, because earlier in the season, I was having a chat with Alan Algarve from Betway, and we were talking about how, you know, title races, they always come down to two horse races, really. You will find that there might be four teams in it, and there might be three teams in it up until the last kind of five or six games. But by and large, title races come down to two horse races, and I always felt that was going to be the case this season with Leighton Orient and Salford, but it just seems to be like it's a division that nobody wants to win, even though it's littered with so much quality. Nobody's really putting their hand up and grabbing the league by the scruff of the neck. Leighton Orient do look good. They do look refreshed now. So they look like they've got that kind of second wind of momentum. But, you know, we'll see. And there's a long, long way to go. I mean, eight or nine games, so much can change. But the team that you can't write off is Solihull Moors, of course, who will be a threat. And, they just keep on defying the critics. But if you look at Solihull Moors, they've got so much experience in their side. And so many guys that have been there and won promotion in this league before that they've got to be taken very, very seriously indeed.
Yeah, and you again look this weekend with Leighton Orient not in action and the Fylde as well not in action. You know, Solihull Moors can go back level on points at the top of the table this weekend. If they're at home to Braintree, and you know, maybe on paper you'd expect them to win. And then Braintree had a great win in the week as well. So it's one of those divisions that you can't predict anything.
Well, Braintree I think you'd have to be the eternal optimist to see a way out of this for Braintree and for them to escape relegation. But you've seen it so many times, teams that are down there, rooted to the bottom, they are capable of pulling off those kind of miraculous wins against all the odds. And on paper, that game this weekend against Solihull, it's a write-off. You'd fully expect Tim Flowers' men to take the 3 points and to go top. And I do expect that. But you just never know. There's enough quality there in the Braintree ranks to spring a surprise. And when the shackles are released and sides of, I'm not saying Braintree have accepted their fate, and I'm not saying that they'll be turning up kind of not caring about the game, but there'll be a bit of a release, I would imagine, in the way they're playing as they get towards the end of the season and they know the inevitable is going to happen. So no, I fully expect Solihull Moors to win that and to take the points, but you can never say anything dull about this league, because bottom place team facing one of the top place team, it's never a given.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you say about Braintree, because probably looking at the other clubs down there, they've probably got the smallest fan base of all of those. And you say, maybe the pressure's not on them so much. They can play their natural game. And we know some of those other big clubs that are down there, quite often, if you're behind, say, early on in a game and you're already down there, then the fans, not necessarily turn against you, but they're not always on your side when they are supposed to be supporting you. So maybe Braintree may be freer than any of the other clubs that are down there to have that final push and achieve a miracle.
Well, yeah. Listen, miracles don't happen very often, but if they do happen in a sport, then they do happen in football. So, listen, I'm not a betting man, and my money's staying firmly in my pocket. But if somebody gave me a bet on Braintree to go down, then I would put quite a lot of money on that. But you never say never, and it's a time of year as well where players are starting to play for themselves. Players are starting to look ahead to next season and contracts and clubs, and you suddenly see performances lift in individual performances. The collective performances maybe not, but individual players tend to stand out around this time of year. So there's enough there in the Braintree ranks to spring a surprise this weekend. As I say, I don't think they will, but the shackles could well be released. It's funny, the club I keep on looking at, and I keep on saying, they've got games in hand, they'll pull away from this, and that's Barnet. Mm. And I just, once you're down there, you're down there. And it doesn't matter if you've got 10 games in hand, 4 games in hand, 1 game in hand. You've got to start making those games count. And the congestion in the way you play those games will take its toll. And there'll be some really nerdy people at Barnet. There'll be some people looking over their shoulder and looking at the fixture list and jotting down the imaginary points that they think they would take from those games that they've got left. Again, I'm not a betting man, but if I was to bet, I would expect them to get away from it and pull themselves to safety. But it's very, very tough down there. And the likes of Aldershot, who have made the playoffs in the last two seasons, admittedly they've lost quite a few players from those two seasons, and they're not quite the same side. But it just goes to show you that if you get sucked in, it's very, very difficult to get out of.
Yeah, and the bottom of that National League is going to cause headaches right into the summer, particularly for the Leeds committee, because you look at that bottom six, they're all traditionally southern sides, and I think there's only one of the bottom 10 that are naturally National North. So there's going to be lots of switching, potentially if Braintree do go down, will they be back in National North, or maybe Hereford are moved to National South if they stay in step two, and who knows what, maybe that Southern Central Premier division is going to come into its own with them all moving into National North next season.
Yeah, well, the only thing we can be sure of is that someone's going to be unhappy. the club is going to be moved very much against its will. You do look at Braintree and you think that they would be the obvious side to move into the National North. In some ways, you become a victim of your own success, don't you? As you rise through the leagues and you get yourself into that top tier of non-league football, because a year ago Braintree were kind of loitering in and around the playoffs in kind of eighth or seventh position, and they scraped themselves through promotion, really through the back door. And now a year on, where they've been found wanting in the National League, they could be being placed against their will in the National North when they come down. If you look at that bottom four as it is now, Maidstone United, you can't put them in the National North, surely. Aldershot, potentially when you look at the other club that's down there, haven't. So, and Dover as well. So It's very, very tricky. It's going to be a difficult scenario for the Leeds committee. But if you do look at the National League, it is a very southern league. From top to bottom, it's not got the the northern population that we would expect from feeder league coming up, and so it's going to be very, very tough. There'll be some tough decisions and some headaches for the league committee in the summer. But looking at it as it stands now, I would probably expect Braintree to go into National North, and then you would look at other clubs, maybe the likes of Gloucester, the likes of Oxford City. They could maybe move to the north as well. But whatever happens, somebody's going to be very happy, and I'd imagine there'll be a few appeals in the summer.
So you get to the end of the season, you thought you may be happy that the way the season had finished, and then it could all go wrong. But plenty of weekends to look forward to, including this, Alex. What can we expect from the non-league paper on Sunday?
Well, it's a massive match day on Saturday, so we've really upped the coverage for the Sunday paper, really focusing on the FA Trophy and the One FA Vars semi-final game that we've got between Northwich and Chertsey. So, huge weekend. We're always saying and we're always arguing, the worth of the FA Trophy, and for myself and you, people like yourself as well, who really try and fly the flag for non-league football. Really, we really see the importance of the competition. But we're always arguing about clubs taking it seriously and clubs kind of focusing on league credentials. And we understand that. I get that completely. If you sat Dave Challoner, Justin Edinburgh, Gavin Cowan in a room now, and Jim Gannon from Stockport County, and you said, listen, guys, what do you want to do? Do you want to get promotion this season or win the league? Where's your priorities? All of them would say that the priorities lie with the league. But I think it's really refreshing. And it's great testament to the cup competition that we've got four, real giants I'd say non-league football, but you can't really say that traditionally Leighton Orient are a giant of non-league football because they've only been down here for a couple of seasons. But I think it speaks volumes for the way that these guys have approached the cup and the importance of getting to Wembley. They know that for many, many of their players, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I spoke to Jim Gannon last week, the Stockport manager, and he played there four times as a player, and he's been there once as a manager as well. And he echoed those views that he wants his players to experience the day. Yes, he wants promotion. Yes, he wants fresh legs for the run-in, but it's a very, very important two legs coming up for all the clubs, and it promised to be a special day. And I also think, I really do believe that winning is a habit. And I think if you spoke to a lot of these individual players, that they don't really see it as getting in the way of league priorities. They just see it as another game that they have to go out there and win. They're very professional about what they have to do. And I think that we really could expect some big bumper crowds over these next two games, these next two legs in the semi-final. And whoever gets to Wembley, I think we're in for a great day and a really big crowd as well.
And hopefully a change in the weather as well. I'm not sure we're going to get the change in the weather for this weekend. And so hopefully, most games should be able to beat the weather. But I know there's been some difficulties with the wind, with some stands collapsing and various other issues. But it's a great time to be involved in non-league football.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the weather, we've been really fortunate, if we're honest, this year. We had an absolute torrid second half of the season last year. This time last year, it was the Beast from the East. And we thought we were coming out of the winter then, but it all started again. We had so much disruption. I spoke to so many players last year. They said they'd never known anything like it. Fixture congestion. Some of the teams up in Step 5 in the Northern League were having to make up 9 and 10 fixtures in their last 2 weeks. So last season was really tough. This season's been pretty decent, if I'm being honest with you. I think we've got away with it pretty lightly. But yeah, there's a bit of wind about this week. There's been some bad weather, and we could well lose a few games at the weekend, but we hope not, because it's all gearing up for a great run-in across all the divisions.
Well, as long as everybody wraps up warm on a Sunday with a nice cup of tea and the non-league paper, we'll all be happy, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what everybody's got to do.
Alex, thanks for joining us again and have a great weekend.
Cheers, mate. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Well, I suppose I better let you go and pack your bag and get ready for it. So thank you and good luck, Dave Anderson.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thank you.
A big thank you to all of our guests and a big thank you to everybody that listened. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season, share the show, join in the debate throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anderson at DaveAnderson78, myself at Tim Fuel. And of course, you can find us every week on, and here's a long list, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, Google Podcasts Now, Radio Public, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, smart speakers, and podcast aggregation sites.
We could, if we that many fans, our listeners.
Trying to aggregate all the figures is the difficult part of my job every week.
There's probably one on each of the platforms. Now, listen in. See you soon.
Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA